This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good morning. Closing prices for the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, $3.70 up 1.5. March, $3.73.5 up half. May, $3.79.25 up half. January soybeans, $8.76.75 down 5.5. March, $8.79.75 down 6. May, $8.85.75 down 6. December wheat, $4.70.75 up half. March, $4.81.5 down 1.25. May, $4.88 down 1.75. December oats, $2.66 up 6.25. March, $2.42 up 6.75. December soybean meal, $2.76.60 down 2.30. January, $2.75.40 down 2.60. March, $2.77.20 down 2.70. December soybean oil, $31.23 up 25. January, $31.49 up 24. March, $31.70 up 23. It's time now for the cash grain report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices did end mixed on Tuesday afternoon. Large world supplies kept the pressure on corn and soybeans today at the Board of Trade, and tomorrow is the USDA's supply-demand report. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 2 higher at 347 to 361. Soybean bids down 6 to 10 cents at 842 to 869. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to a penny lower at 355 to 376. Soybean bids were down 5 to 6 cents at 860 to 886. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 1 to 2 at 362 to 384. Soybean bids down 3 cents, ranging from 867 to 884. And the wheat bids 1 to 2 cents lower, ranging from 381 up to 427. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 5 to 6 cents lower at 887 to 893. Basis steady to a penny higher at 10 to 16 over the January. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $269.40 to $285.40 per ton. That's down $2.60, with basis steady ranging from 6 under to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids a penny higher on Tuesday at $3.74 to $3.81, with basis steady ranging from option to 17 over the March. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 1 to 3 higher at 372 to 377, with basis steady to 2 cents stronger at 2 under to 3 over the March. Soybeans ended down 1 to 5 cents at 884 to 893, with basis up 1 to 5 cents at 7 to 16 over the January. And new crop wheat prices for June, July 16 delivery. Those wheat prices were 2 cents lower at 418 to 469, with basis steady ranging from 75 under to 24 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 3 to 4 higher at 390 to 391. But the same elevators lowered the soybean prices by 2 cents with quotations at 907 to 908. Soft wheat closed a penny lower at 407 to 457, while the Milo ended a penny higher at 359 to 364. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country grain dealer bids to producers in those regions for January delivered corn range from 343 up to 360. January soybean bids range from 847 to 882. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 355 to 377. January soybean bids were at 857 to 877. And in the southern part of the state on Tuesday, January corn bids range from 363 to 385. January soybean bids range from 866 to 883. And wheat bids for June, July delivery in southern Illinois, those bids range from 443 up to 468. That completes our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Closing prices for the Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle, 121.57 down 5. February, 126.05 down 110. April, 127.12 down 132. January feeder cattle, 152.45 down $4. March, 150.25 down 382. April, 151.55 down 357. December, lean hogs, 55.37 down 10. February, $58 up 47. April, 61.82 up 17. It's time now for the Cash Livestock Report.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 8th's Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 19 cents higher in the range of $46 to $52.75 with a weighted average carcass price of $51.46. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $1 to $3 lower, with weak demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 14 to 18, 4 to 5 weights 15 to 20, 5 to 6 weights 15 to 21, and 6 weights and up 16 to 23. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $26 to $32. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 7,839 head. And now for the recap from the Arthur Sale Barn, their sheep and goat auction. They had receipts of 125 head, starting with the choice slaughter lambs. 70 weights were 187 to 202, 80 weights were 176 to 194, and 90 weights were 170 to 180. Slaughter kids, selection ones, 40 weights, 97 to 105, 70 weights, 155 to 158, and 80 weights were 165. Slaughter nannies and does, 100 weights were bringing 82 to 132. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 449 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $72.10, and that was $1.79 lower. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis, $117 to $120.50, and on a dress basis, $187 to $189. Heifers on a live basis for 117, and on a dress basis 186 to 188. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $204.14, that was $1.27 higher, and select carcasses were $190.73, that was 37 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000, that compared to 108,000 last week and 113,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 438,000, that compares to 438,000 last week and 430,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
When you think of central and southern Illinois, the first crop that comes to mind is probably not popcorn, but one family in Montgomery County grows and sells popcorn both on the cob and shelled, and they have a unique way of packaging their product. Matt Stolte, owner of Golden Prairie Popcorn, explains the process from planting to packaging. Matt, can we start out by having you tell us about yourself, your family, and also your business?
My name is Matt Stolte. My wife and I and our two kids basically own and operate Golden Prairie Popcorn, which is our main product is microwave popcorn on the cob. We also carry a 2-pound bag of shelled popcorn as well. Basically, grown and raised here in Montgomery County, attended school FFA in Nokomis. Wife did the same, went on to school for 4 years, 2 years at Lakeland, and finished up at Illinois State. And basically came back after a couple of years and worked on the retail side of things, district salesman for an independent company as well, and now a Pioneer seed professional is what I'm doing at this time, along with the popcorn, and helping my dad and my father-in-law farm whenever they need it.
Well, it sounds like you have definitely a lot of experience in the ag industry. Now, listening to this, someone might be thinking, really, we grow popcorn in Illinois. So could you fill us in on how you got started being involved with this business?
Well, my uncle started it several years ago, and he basically kind of got it off the internet, I believe, from another company out in Nebraska, and kind of did some trials on what hybrids were going to perform best in our geographical area. And after several years, he kind of got, he was kind of ready to pass it on, and my wife and I talked about it and basically decided we would take over the business, and we tried to expand it from there. Basically, it starts basically about this time of the year. I've got to sit down and see which particular hybrids have performed the best out in the field. I have done one or two plots in the past to see which particular hybrids will pop the best off the cob, and I don't necessarily go for just good popping. I like good flavor and less hull score, because that seems to sell the best, and that's what everybody's wanting. Yeah, right now I'm in the process of trying to decide how much to grow right now and what particular hybrids I'm going to plant come spring. From there, I basically use, I've got a four-row planter, and I plant it. And we're not talking acres, but we're talking basically a half acre to three-quarters of an acre. And virtually everything is done by hand after planting it. So once I plant it, I usually scout it throughout the year. If I need to spray for bugs or weeds, I do that to have the cleanest field. I haven't been known to spray some fungicide in the past just to try to keep a healthy stock. So I have run into instances where the plant itself has gone down, and when you and two of your buddies are shucking it by hand, you don't like to bend over every 6 inches to pick an ear kind of off the ground a little bit. So it's very manual labor, and I've got some good buddies that help us out in the field when it comes time to harvest. Like I said, we shuck every ear by hand, and then I go through a process of deciding which ones are going to be good enough to package on the ear, and then the rest will be shelled for our shelled popcorn. But once we get it shucked, we put it in gunny stacks, put it in our old milking parlor that has been refabricated into kind of our working area. I go through each ear and clean each ear, take the hairs off, cut the ears down to size. From there, and they are packaged in a vacuum-sealed pouch with our label and popping instructions. And there we manage the marketing part of it and the shipping and all the rest of that.
So you're talking, you said not acres, but only about a half an acre to three-quarters of an acre. How many ears does that produce of the popcorn, roughly?
Well, if you take 32,000, if you plant 32,000 on an acre, and, you know, you just divide that. So that's basically what you're doing by hand. At times, I'm looking at the ears at least two or three times just for quality, making sure there is no bug damage on them, and we have good kernel from the butt of the ear to the top of the ear.
Once again, Matt Stolte with Golden Prairie Popcorn of Nokomis in Montgomery County. Be sure to join us again tomorrow to hear the rest of my conversation with Matt. But if you can't wait until then, you can check out the Golden Prairie Popcorn Facebook page for more information. As a new generation of farmers, ranchers, and agriculture communicators step into an era of smart farming, it's important to understand how technology is changing the way we communicate as individuals, consumers, and marketers. To understand more about how FFA members are using social media to share their stories of modern agriculture, Farm Credit conducted a survey of approximately 3,500 attendees at the 2015 National FFA Convention in Louisville, Kentucky. More than 70% of survey respondents said they use social media to advocate for agriculture. Farm Credit also noted that 22% of Americans use social media multiple times each day, which means the findings demonstrate the powerful and growing influence the FFA members and other young people have in the digital space. The students are proactively sharing their agriculture stories with digital communities that include both rural and urban consumers. The top two social media platforms that were found to be used from the survey were Instagram and Facebook. Farm Credit conducted the social media research with the help of 21 Farm Credit employee volunteers, and the survey asked 5 questions about FFA attendees' social media use and interests. The CME Group, home of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, where U.S. cattle contracts are traded, will require that all cattle delivered against live cattle contracts must be born and raised solely in the United States. The move announced last week was in preparation for Monday's announcement on country of origin labeling. CME Group made the adjustment to clarify existing live cattle futures delivery regulations if the U.S. should choose to repeal COOL. According to Reuters, CME said in a statement, the purpose of these rule changes is to maintain the status quo in an uncertain policy environment since the current U.S. origin requirement is dependent on COOL being in place. The new requirement, effective December 18th, covers all currently listed trading months through April 2017. The Senate could vote yet this week to repeal COOL following Monday's tariff announcement by the World Trade Organization. CME said it will not list additional live cattle futures and options contract months unless it is determined whether cattle of non-U.S. origin should be allowed for delivery against live cattle futures contracts after the April 2017 trading month. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show this morning. I'm Katie Bowles.